And now, from the DTC Sports Broadcast Studio, it's time for another episode of The Box Score, the weekly Middle Tennessee High School sports podcast for all things sports in Cannon, DeKalb, Gordonsville, Smith, and Watertown, featuring your hosts, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair.
And welcome to The Box Score, Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. We want to thank our title sponsor, Who's Pavement Restorations. See them for your pavement needs, and we appreciate them stepping up to the plate for us this year. And Murphy, and week two in the books.
It's going by and awfully quickly, you know. Right. It's already almost a third of the season over. It's hard to believe.
You know, the one thing that I've been surprised is just how cool it's been on Friday night. The last two Friday nights have been definitely very, very pleasurable. And sometimes when you get in late August, Murph, it's not that way.
No, it could have been 20 degrees warmer the other night and still being normal as far as what we've had some delays and postponements until the turf cooled off enough to start the game.
That's for sure. Let's go ahead and look at our Watertown at Gordonsville, which was our game of the week. Sonic Carthage bringing you those stats. Gordonsville gets the big win at home, 17-6. And looks like Gordonsville kind of dominated stat-wise, very balanced. 161 yards rushing, which is 5 yards a clip. 188 through the air, 349 total. They did lose a couple of fumbles, probably more penalties than Coach Steven Jackson wanted, and 9 penalties for 77 yards. But you look, Murph, Watertown struggled with only 20 yards passing. 6 of 11, that's not so bad, but evidently real short passes, and they averaged 4 yards a rush. But still, Watertown making some mistakes, and we'll visit with Gavin Webster a little bit later in the show.
Now, bottom line, it was a win, but for Gordonsville, that is. But, you know, as coaches will tell you, if we won 50-0, there's still some mistakes that were made that we need to correct.
Of course, that's a big rivalry and has been down through the years. Let's go ahead and look at the individual numbers. Turner Booker leads the way, 9 carries for 98 yards. Of course, they're without their outstanding tailback Williams, who went out in the game at Coalfield. Waylon Kennedy, a big night for Gordonsville, 5 receptions, 114 yards. And when you look at 23 yards reception, Murph, tells you a little bit how he can stretch the field. And Jay Foster, 188 yards passing as well.
Pretty good numbers up there to be so early in the season, and I think Gordonsville's going to be a team a lot of folks are going to have to reckon with before this season's over.
Of course, Gordonsville, and still don't know about that first game, whether they counted that a win or no contest, but at least 2-0, maybe, or 1-0, I'm not sure. Of course, when you look at Garrett Davis, the quarterback for Watertown, 20 yards passing and then 23 carries for 91 yards to lead them in the rush game and a touchdown. And then Will Burns, 7 rushes for 42 yards. But Murph, they only put up 6 points.
Yeah, and that's got to be concerning for Coach Webster. And it's not going to get a whole lot easier when they go up against DeKalb County this week.
White House at DeKalb, or against DeKalb. DeKalb comes up short 20-13. I know White House scored in the second half to win that one by 7. White House, Murph, as always, since Jeff Porter's been there, they put a quality team on the field. Benjamin Stanley had a rushing touchdown. Jaden Schultz, a couple passing. And for DeKalb, Gavin Frazier, touchdown run, as did Ryan Lyons. But they come up on the short end after beating Warren County the week before.
Hey, you go up against a team that's had the same coach for 5 or 10 years, even 15 maybe. You know, both teams are pretty familiar with what's going on. But White House, I think with a new head coach this year, once again, Coach Hamilton had gone to another place as an assistant coach. And that handicaps DeKalb too, because they don't know exactly what this new head coach is going to bring to the table.
Cannon County Lions go to MTSU, play against Providence Christian. And that was last Thursday night. Eli Garrett, a big night for the Lions, 15 of 20, 152 passing yards and a score. Miles Alexander, 30 passing yards. He rushed for 47 yards. He received for 117. I guess he sold the popcorn too, Murph, although that was a Providence Christian home game. He had a big night, did Miles Alexander.
Yeah, I think Garrett got hurt late in the second quarter, maybe early in the third, and pulled himself basically out of the lineup. But they've been using Miles in a lot of practices and preseason scrimmages, so he's no stranger to running the offense and apparently stepped in and did a pretty good job. The defense just could not stop a couple of running backs, one in particular from Providence Christian, and I know they had to be excited about that win, because Cannon County, that was one of their wins last year against Providence.
You look at Zeke Walkup every week, Murphy, we talk about him on the defensive side of the ball. He's one of their leaders.
He's one of a couple of guys on that team that's getting a lot of college coaches' attention, and he's only a junior and still got so much more to go. He matured so much on the basketball court over the winter. I was really, really impressed, and he's done the same thing on the gridiron. There's some colleges looking at that young man on a regular basis.
Clay County comes to Carthage and knocks off the Owls. Of course, Clay County in Class 1A, Nolan Adams, the quarterback, 38 yards passing, but the Owls couldn't slow down the rushing attack. 29 rushes for 135 yards. And then Reese Adams, who got hurt on the opening kickoff, he was the kicker. He didn't return to the start of the third quarter, and he was key for them in the second half. 12 carries for 62 yards. The Owls actually led in that game after a 90-yard bomb between Riley Martin and Cole Hackett, 7-6. Clay County scored with 46 seconds left and then got the two-point conversion for the final difference. The Owls just could not slow down the Bulldogs' rushing attack. Cole Hackett, on his birthday, 2 receptions, 97 yards and a score. And Riley Martin, 10 for 17, 233 passing yards, touchdown, and a critical interception. The Owls got it twice inside the red zone in the first half, had it 4th and goal from the 6-inch line, and bobbled a under-center snap, which meant no gain, and then threw an interception when they were at the 18-yard line of Clay County, which proved to be the difference. Let's go ahead and look at the region scores. Whites Creek gets a big win over Trousdale. Jackson County goes to 2-0 with a win over Midway. Providence Christian over Cannon. Clay over Smith. Gordonville over Watertown. In Region 4-3A, Cascade beats Moore County. Moore County, a future Owl opponent. Eagleville beat Community. Forest beat Huntland. Giles County beat Henry County. Sequatchie goes up on the mountain and beats Signal 29-7. Looking at Region 4-4A, Livingston, who goes to Carthage this week, beats Cumberland County 38-3. Macon struggled with Westmoreland a little while, but wins it 35-15. Stone Memorial in overtime beats Coalfield. Greenville hosts Upperman and beats them by 8. White County beats York, and White House beats DeKalb County. We'll have an interview with Gavin Webster, the head coach for Watertown, when we return to the Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
DTC delivers the internet you need with customer service that is second to none. We're your friends and neighbors, working nonstop to make everyday life even better.
Right now, new customers score free internet until 2026 when you sign up with AutoPay. That's a winning serve for your home and family. Don't just play, make gains with every swing.
We're standing by, ready to help you take the next step. DTC, making a difference where it matters most.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile together. Hard work, real pride, good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose, powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit huffpufftrucking.com to learn more.
And welcome back to the Box Score. We've been joined by former Gordonsville alum and now Watertown head coach for his 21st year, Gavin Webster. And Coach, I know you saw a lot of familiar faces last Friday night at Turning Ford Field.
Oh, yeah. It's always, you know, when you go back over there, it's kind of like a reunion. You see a lot of people, you know, you grew up with and you played ball with. And, you know, just it's always good to go back.
Coach, you all are now playing 3A football. Is that a significant difference or just one of the pitfalls from having a brand new school and a lot of people wanting to move into that new atmosphere instead of staying in Lebanon or whatever?
Yeah, I'm going to say it is a little different. There's a big difference in going from 2A to 3A, you know. You know, you start getting school starts growing. You know, you start getting more kids, so you're hopefully getting more athletes out and things like that. So there's a little difference. Not a major, but I've seen a little change.
But it's like anything else. There's bad that comes along with the good, and sometimes that's not necessarily worth the situation. But, you know, your hands are tied and you can't do much about it except try and make the best of whatever you have, right?
That is right. You got to make the best of what you have. You can't sit back, bellyache over it. And you got to, well, this is where we're at now. We just got to keep working. We got to get better and make sure, you know, we're sound on both sides of the football.
Coach, you have suffered a couple of close losses to the Owls and the Tigers. And I know that it seems like maybe a blown assignment or two or a penalty or a turnover have really hurt you in these first two losses.
Yeah, you know, we've had some turnovers the first two games. We cut back on that last week. I think we only had one, best I remember. But did have some couple penalties that has halted some drives, and you know, we're not built offensively. We're not built for long yardage situations as far as, you know, being behind the chains. We're not built being behind the chains. You know, our goal is to, we want to be positive on every down. So we get behind the chains, it does hurt us, but we just have to adjust and adapt, see if we can't make it happen.
Coach, one thing that is working in your favor and has ever since you've been there is community support. And that Watertown community is so tight, even though there's so many people that have moved in there that are not necessarily Wilson Countyans, but they learn really quick, don't they, about the way everyone gets around in Watertown, and especially when it comes to the schools. We're gonna support those kids every way that we can, and that's got to be very comforting for you and for the kids too, for that matter.
Oh yeah, it's always been good, you know. Community support has been good here forever, you know, and they want to see a good product on the field. You know, want to see kids play hard and be disciplined, and once you put a good product on the field, they're gonna come support you.
Coach, when you look, of course, it seems like your passing game has struggled at times. I know that's something that with a first-year quarterback that you can't always automatically fix because the receivers have to get in sync with the quarterback, just like the line has to get used to a new cadence and all that. I know that's something that y'all have had to work on.
Yeah, it is, you know. Garrett's done exactly what we've asked him to do. Garrett's a hard worker, you know, one of the hardest workers on the team. And, you know, we got to be patient with him, and that's what everybody's got to understand, you know. He, you know, pretty much took over in the spring. Didn't have a lot of work because he just got done with baseball, so you didn't get a whole spring in, and this summer, and it's a whole lot different when you go under the lights for two games, for your first two games, you know. And he's growing and he'll get better. We just got to be patient, and we just can't throw too much at him at a time.
Tell us a little bit about the injury situation. I know last year that was a constant, it seemed like, from one week to the next. But is that kind of behind you, at least for a little while right now?
Yeah, right now, we got back our senior ball player, Andrew Bowers. He was a two-way starter for us, and we got him back. He didn't play against Smith County. He played the other night against Gordonsville, played defense only. But we're looking at trying to get him back in the mix on more on both sides of the ball to try to help with our depth issue and stuff like that. So pretty much, you know, that's pretty much it. Got another little kid banged up the other night, but he may miss a week or two, but nothing major.
Coach, when you look at your schedule, of course, the region games are what counts. If you get in a three-way tie, of course, during that region affair where A's beat B, B's beat C, and C's beat A, then overall record may enter into the equation. But for the most part, you still got the head-to-head teams that you've got to beat to get the playoffs in front of you. And I know you're building for that region run.
Yeah, I mean, that's what everybody's got to understand. You know, what we've played so far doesn't really count into the whole scheme of things when it comes to region play. You do want to win as many out-of-region games as you can, but, you know, it's all said and done. We gotta win those region games, and so that's what we're preparing for, and we have one coming up here in a couple weeks.
Coach, TSSAA has made some major changes when it comes to the playoffs, and that first week, yes, you're going to play somebody probably from Chattanooga, but assuming you make the playoffs. But after that, depending on what your how you're seated in that opening round, you could go to Upper East Tennessee very quickly. I'm just curious about your thoughts, because that whole thing kind of zipped past me before I really knew what had happened. And there's going to be some pretty high cost travel once the postseason rolls around all across the state, it looks like to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's I like the change, to be honest with you. You know, when you get in the playoffs, that's what it's all about, you know, travel and, you know, play different people, and it doesn't bother me as bad. I just wish they would, my main concerns, I wish they would fix the region play. We're not having to travel hour and 45 minutes, almost 2 hours for, you know, region games. You know?
Right.
So hopefully one of these days they'll figure that out. Until then, we got to play where they put us. But as far as the playoffs, you know, I like it. I'm just going to be honest with you, Murph. I like it, you know.
Well, I think it'll be interesting. And yeah, you're going to be looking at some other people, but the only way I see that they can make that work, make it easier, is to either reduce the number of classifications we have or give the first 100 miles on the east and west parts of Tennessee to Arkansas and Virginia or North Carolina and take care of it that way. And I don't think that's going to happen.
No, that ain't going to happen.
Gavin, when you look at that scenarios, I know that sometimes when you play in a very tough region, which you have the last few years, you had to see those cats for three rounds in a row. So if you had the number one team in the state in Class 2A or 3A, then you had to face them guaranteed in that second or third round. With the new status of where the playoffs are, I think it gives a little bit more, maybe rewards you, not punishes you for having those great teams maybe in your region, and you get to eliminate some teams that you probably can beat because you're playing against a region that's not as strong as yours.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one good thing about it. You know, you may, the way they've got it now, you may play somebody, or you will play somebody, you know, like we normally did that first round. And but if I'm not mistaken, where they got it set up now, you know, you won't, chances are you're not going to see anybody from your region if you keep winning until like semifinals, you know, which you know, if you got two pretty good teams in your same region, you know, that, I think that rewards both teams, you know. You know, make it to semifinals, it's, solve it then instead of the quarterfinals.
Well, Gabe Webster, we appreciate you visiting with us. Best of luck to Watertown.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And we'll take a break, and we'll be back with the interview with head coach Steve Trapp of DeKalb County. When we return, as we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, brought to you by Pavement Restorations.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Friendly, traditional banking at its best. It's what our customers have learned to expect at Citizens Bank, and we're always happy to deliver, with plenty of options for personal and commercial checking accounts, as well as a variety of loan types. We can help you achieve your financial goals, all with a friendly hometown smile. Citizens Bank at 407 Main Street and 61 Dixon Springs Highway in Carthage, 70 Cookville Highway in South Carthage, and 530 Gordonsville Highway in Gordonsville. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
At Huff and Puff Trucking, it's more than a job. It's the people beside you. People who go the extra mile. Together. Hard work. Real pride. Good people. That's who we are. Huff and Puff Trucking. Driven by purpose. Powered by people. Ready to join us? Visit HuffPuffTrucking.com to learn more. Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329 and let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
And welcome back to The Box Score. Terry Collins, along with Murphy Fair and Justin Malden, always doing the hard work behind the scenes. We appreciate him. And we've been joined by Steve Trapp, the DeKalb County football coach. And coach, I know a tough loss for you against White House on Friday night.
I mean, opportunities there to, come away victorious. I think our guys are playing extremely hard. We're just still not executing to the level that we need to consistently, and it creeps up on us, and in all three phases. I think our defense has really been a pivotal thing in what we've been allowed to do these first few weeks as far as keeping us in games until our offense kind of gets clicking. So, but there's still moments where there's a letdown there, but offensively, we've got to start better. We've got to stay good when we get good, and then we got to be able to finish as well. And then again, we miss another kick, extra point. We have a faux pas on punt team that allowed them to score and have short field. So, again, it's not an issue with our guys playing hard or not being physical, but we just got to make sure our preparation shows up for us on the game field on Friday.
Coach, I have a terrible time trying to figure out from week to week which game I want to go see most. and this week right now, that DeKalb County Watertown game is still pretty high on my list. Watertown's still looking for their first win, but both of these teams are still pretty hungry, and both coaches are just trying to figure out what am I doing wrong. Would that be a fair assessment?
It's not what we feel like we're doing well as a team. We see the good things when they're there, but then the consistency and in everything that we're doing. And, so you're constantly, and as the head coach, I constantly, look in the mirror and be like, okay, what are the things that needs to be adjusted for what needs to be addressed and things like that. So that's the case no matter if you win or you lose. At least that's what I tell them. You know, we could win 30-0. We're still looking at it the same way as far as the coaching staff, as far as trying to figure out what ways can be done better and things like that. Right now, it's just, our effort is consistent. And I think we're a physical football team. We've showed that. But, when it's a pressure moment, we need to make sure that we're stepping up to the task to make the plays and even the simple things, which nothing is really ever simple, but the things that should be routine, catching a punt snap and kicking it away, not dropping it and getting tackled inside their own 20. So just those little things, we harp all the time. It's the thousand little things that you can do better than your opponent is what helps lead to be successful. And those things start on Monday and carry out through the week. So that's the things that we're talking to our guys about, just keep working, keep grinding. But, you do got to take advantage of the opportunity every day to get better.
Coach, when you look at basketball, you've only got five players and they play offense and defense. Sometimes you've got as many as 15 or 20 players that are playing offense or defense. And then you've got different players that are on special teams. And I know as a coach, that's got to be harder to get everybody on the same page of the playbook and be consistent, regardless of how many repetitions you have in the spring or the fall. You basically get that on Friday night when they turn the lights on. Would you not agree?
Yeah, definitely. And, it's not so much that they flat out don't know what they're doing, but more the case that they're trying to do more than what's required, if that makes sense. Everybody's got a job to do. Do your job. Don't try to do somebody else's, because when you're doing that, that makes two people that's not doing the correct thing. And then, that's where big plays or bad things can happen to you. And it doesn't matter what phase of the game it is. So first and foremost, yes, if you know your job, do your job. Don't try to do somebody else's. That's kind of got, I've seen this and I need it. No, you needed to do your job. Because when you jumped over there and did somebody else's, it kindly got us. So, that's a big thing. So it's a learning and growing process each and every week. But, it is frustrating, when you put this much time and effort into, scheming and creating things to hopefully help them be successful. It's frustrating sometimes when it just doesn't go that way. So, but like I said, it's, these guys got good hearts about them, good brains about them. And as far as what it takes to continue to learn and grow, and I told somebody, we're going to get it right or die trying.
Coach, I want to talk about your schedule a little bit, because your particular region has got to be the toughest region in 4A football all across the state. When you've got people like Macon County and Upperman and Stone Memorial and DeKalb County. Did you have a hard time putting a schedule together, trying to put together non-regional teams that, maybe we got a little bit better chance of competing with than we do those killers in our own region?
Definitely. Like I said, some of the traditional games that we've had, since I've been here, right here close, border rivalries and all that, they did not want to play us, so... other than, Warren County and Watertown, our whole non-region slate is different. We've got York back on there, which was traditionally a district game and played them quite a few times in the history. But, White House used to be a region game, but, it wouldn't be somebody we'd play just on a whim. And then, Friendship Christian's in there now as well. So, but it wasn't like playing White House was somebody that was just going to donkey stomp us or anything. I thought we competed well. Two teams that was somewhat evenly matched, and at the end of the day, they made their mistakes. We had our opportunities to win, and I've said it the first 2 weeks, we've definitely played hard enough to be victorious, but we have played sloppy enough to lose. Fortunately, we made enough plays the first week. Last week, it kind of crept up on us and bought it. So it's just about trying to be clean and efficient in everything that we're doing.
I was a little surprised to see Friendship on your schedule. Have you guys played them before?
Never played them. As far as I've been coaching now, we've been scrimmaging those guys probably for the last 12 to 14 years in the fall, so we know each other very well, and a lot of respect for their program and vice versa. So they needed a game, we needed a game, and that was kind of my last option. So that's how that comes about.
Coach, when you look, I know Smith County, Gordonsville, a couple of people that are close that had played you in the past that chose maybe not to renew, with y'all. know it makes it tougher when you've got a further away game, like when you go to White House, that's probably going to be an hour and a half trip or whatever. But still, I know you like to keep those close rivalries just because you play them in other sports and the gates are larger.
Yeah, financially it helps the programs. And, you know, and in those cases, in the history of us playing those other teams, they have won a whole lot more games than we have. You know, so overall, you know, we're not some kind of world beater here. I'd like to take that as a compliment and a sign of respect and all that. But I just think it's good for, you know, like I said, there for 2 or 3 years in a row, every game we played was a border rivalry. You know, everybody's just right next door, you know, so it's a good thing, which I'm not whining and complaining. I'm just stating the facts. You know, it is what it is. And, you know, you got to fill the schedule out and that's it. And ultimately, is it a challenging schedule? Yes. But like we tell our guys all the time, always embrace the challenges because without them, you don't get any better. So, you know, we're excited about the teams that we're playing.
Next on the schedule, Watertown. What concerns you most about the Purple Tigers, Coach?
That quarterback they got, he's a physical guy. He can run. He does a lot of run game with him. And, you know, still, you know, he can throw it up and make plays in that regard as well. And like I said, they're always tough defensively. I know they're new, got a new guy on that side of the ball. But nothing's different than what we've seen in the past as far as, you know, how they go about doing what they're doing. They're always a disciplined football team, a physical football team. And we understand the challenges that are ahead of us, and we just need to make sure that we're ready and prepared to go.
Coach, one last question before we let you go, because I know you've got a lot going on. But with this rivalry, which has not been played a whole lot down through the years, but it's a short trip down Highway 70 and through Alexandria and Liberty, and, you know, you're there. I, as a high school football fan, am glad that these two schools are meeting on the gridiron.
Now, Devin, well, like I said, in the history of DeKalb County and Watertown playing, it's a long history. They are one of the teams that is up there as far as one of the teams that we played almost more than anybody. You know, so there is a deep history there, and there for a long, long, long time. I mean, DeKalb County hadn't won any games, you know, in Watertown for a long time. I think in 2008 was the first time that a DeKalb team had won there in, I don't know, close to 20 years, seems like 14, 15 years. And, you know, then even a home game, you know, so that's another border rivalry where in the history of the two schools, you know, they've got more victories over us than we got over them. So, again, it runs deep. It's there. And, but yes, it's good. You know, it's a short bus ride. You know, I think Coach Webster become the head coach the same year that I did, you know, so we have a lot in common in that regard. And, you know, when we played each other there for the first few years, and then we wasn't on the schedule for a few years, but we always did 7-on-7 and JV games and all that, even when we weren't on regular schedule. So there's always been some kind of DeKalb Watertown, you know, football event happening ever since I've been here. So got a lot of respect for Gavin and what he's done down there, and just, you know, glad that we get the chance to continue to play.
Well, Coach Trapp, best of luck to you and DeKalb County.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
We'll take a look at this week's games and get Murph's picks when we return. As we remind you, you're watching The Box Score, presented to you by Pavement Restoration.
Got a special outdoor project that you need to tackle? BDGR Excavating is the one to call. Custom land clearing, mulching, excavation, and more. They can help get the job done, even when others have failed. Call the problem solvers at BDGR at 615-489-1329 and let them help you get that project out of the way so you can really start enjoying your property. BDGR Excavating.
Community Wellness Clinic is a nurse practitioner-owned and operated full-service medical clinic. Our emphasis is on good health and wellness throughout every generation of your family. We strive to provide the expert quality of care that our patients deserve and expect. Along with primary care services, we also offer a full complement of urgent care services. Let us be your family's good health partner. Community Wellness Clinic in Woodbury. Phone 615-563-7515.
Pavement Restorations began in 2006 to help our clients find cost-effective ways to extend the life of their existing asphalt and concrete assets. We're now proud to be a leader in the asphalt and concrete construction industry across Tennessee. PRI offers asphalt paving and production, on-site concrete mixtures, asphalt and concrete repairs, preservation, and cold asphalt mixtures. So let our team introduce you to the PRI way of construction on your next project.
Regardless of where you call home, you can relax even more when you trust DTC Security to keep tabs on your home and your family's safety.
For just $49.99, get a system with a touch keypad, three window or door sensors, motion detector, key fob, and standard installation. Secure every corner of your home court with DTC Security.
Don't wait until something happens. Contact DTC Security now and take the worry away at your home.
And welcome back to The Box Score. Terry Collins along with Murphy Fair. Always Justin Malden doing a great job for us. And Murph, we've got a big rivalry coming up here on DTC3 when DeKalb County travels down Highway 70 to face off.
Yeah, I think they had a gap there for several years. But if you go back three or four or five decades, that was a regular brawl when those two teams got together, I'm sure.
We've got that on DTC3, it'll be 6:45. Will be the air time for the pregame. Of course, our show will be before that, the box score. It comes on at 6, and then the kickoff right at 7 o'clock. And what is a beautiful field and facility down at Watertown. Murph, should be a good one.
Surely is, and I really like their concession stands a lot,
yeah,
too.
They do a tremendous job there. Let's go ahead and look at the picks for Murph. We're going to start out in East Tennessee and Knoxville Well at Silverdale going down I-75.
From what I understand, Silverdale Baptist has picked up a bunch of kids with this. They don't call it the portal. It's a transfer rule. And they're hammering everybody, taking all comers on a regular basis. And Webb usually has a pretty good team, but I've got to pick Silverdale in that one. They're putting a lot of points on the scoreboard.
Lipscomb at Knoxville Catholic.
Normally, that would be a pretty even game, but Knoxville Catholic headed up by Philip Shadowens, who did so many great things at Smyrna High School, and he's doing a very good job there. And Catholic's going to be a team, despite Baylor and McCauley and Brentwood Academy, I think Knoxville Catholic's going to be a player this year in that race, and I'm going to go with Irish in that one.
A border war, South Pittsburgh at Sequatchie.
It's just down the highway, about 20 miles or so, and not a lot of love lost between both of those teams. South Pitt has won its share of the games, but looking at scores, Sequatchie's putting a lot of points on the board, too, and I'm going to go with the Indians in that one.
Let's go ahead and look at the Middle Tennessee picks. Pearl Cone off a loss to CPA, a close one, they go to BGA.
Yeah, and I like to see these games like this when you get a private school that costs a lot of money to go there against Pearl Cone, an inner city team that's loaded with athletic ability. Should be an interesting game. Both teams have won their share of state championships, but I think BGA, with this new coach they've got from South Carolina, I believe, he's got those kids playing lights out football, and I think they're gonna probably beat the Firebirds rather easily.
When you look at Blackman and Riverdale, of course Riverdale and Oakland used to be the only two schools in Rutherford County, Murph.
No, you're thinking of Oakland.
And Riverdale used to be the only two. And then you had Middle Tennessee Christian over there, but they weren't, you know, very large or very pertinent as far as football talk. But now that you've got so many high schools in Rutherford County, Blackman and Riverdale, just another rivalry that really only started maybe in the last 20 or 30 years.
You take the enrollment numbers just at the high schools that are in Murfreesboro, and that's more than the population of all Cannon County. So there's a lot of kids to pick from. This one I refer to as the Kreisky Bowl. You got Matt at Blackman, his brother at Riverdale, Will, and always a battle when they get together. Riverdale is who I'm picking because it was so one-sided in favor of Riverdale last year, but this one could go either way.
You got Jackson County, another border rivalry, going to Salina to play Clay County.
Those two teams have played each other, probably hadn't missed a year in 5 decades or more, I suppose. They're pretty closely related to each other, and that's a tough one to call, but I think Jackson County's probably going to wind up winning that one.
Let's go ahead and look at some picks in West Tennessee. I noticed Adamsville's not on there. They got their second win, and Murphy's grandson, a star as always. With that, I know got to be tickled that Adamsville's off to a 2-0 start, but we've got Whitehaven at Fairley.
I was talking about Cannon maybe being open this week, but it's Adamsville that's open this week, and that's why you don't see them up there.
Right.
Whitehaven and Fairley only about 3 blocks apart, and there's always been a war with those two, but I think Whitehaven's just a little bit stronger again this year, and I'm going to go with Whitehaven in that one.
Crockett County traveling to Lexington.
That's going to be a long trip from Alamo to Lexington, almost from Memphis to the Kentucky line, but I think Crockett County will pull that one out. I really like what their coach has done over there the last several years.
Murph, a long-standing rivalry, Huntington and Miley.
Two very, very strong, maybe the strongest programs for a long, long time in that Northwest Tennessee segment. Great talent on both sides of the ball, incredible stadiums, turf stadiums at both of those places. But I think Milan, under the direction of Wade Comer, who's won a couple of state championships at McKenzie. And I think Milan's probably just got a couple more horses than does Huntington. And so consequently, I've got to go with the Milan Bulldogs in that one.
All right, let's look at our local picks now. We start out with Pickett County traveling to Woodbury.
Pickett County up trying to get a program going. They've only got 8 scheduled games this year, but I think Cannon gets back on the winning side and pulls off a win there rather easily.
Gordonsville going to be tested on the road once again as they go down to Lincoln County to play Fayetteville.
They may see a little more speed than they've seen in the other games that they've played thus far, but I think Gordonsville, with everyone fairly healthy, should be in pretty good shape and should pick up a game against Fayetteville. I'm sure both of those teams struggled trying to get a full 10-game schedule. I'm sure most would not prefer to play each other, but it's just one of those things you got to take what's left.
Probably about a 2 hours and a half drive from Gordonsville down to Fayetteville. Then you've got an old District 8AA game, Murphy, back in the day when Livingston and Smith County were in the same district.
Absolutely, and they had some great battles between those two, and I'm glad that one's in Carthage because it's a pretty good little trip up to Livingston too, about an hour and a half or so from Carthage, but I think Smith County probably bounces back in the win column and gets a much needed win.
The beautiful thing about going to Livingston now, you've got 111, it's just like the interstate.
Sure.
So you can zip up there quick. And then the battle of Highway 70, DeKalb County and Watertown.
Yeah, and I think that'll be a good one too. I'm glad those teams are playing each other. There's too many people in each of those communities that grew up with people in the other community, you know, either going to church or going to the county fair or whatever the case may be. And I think that'll be a fun game to watch. I think DeKalb's playing a little bit better, but I know both coaches would like to see improvement on their teams. And it'll just be whoever makes the most mistakes is probably going to come up on the short end of the scoreboard.
Murph, I know those last two games, you know, when you look at Livingston and they're a higher classification than Smith County, renewing their rivalry, they haven't played in a few years. Last time Smith County played up there was the COVID year.
So that does go back a while. Absolutely.
Sure. We want to thank all our fine sponsors, our title sponsor, Pavement Restorations, other sponsors, Huff and Buff Trucking, Citizens Bank, Sonic of Carthage, Carthage Safeway, Community Wellness Clinic, and BDGR Excavation. So we want to thank Justin Malden. For Murphy Fair, I'm Terry Collins. Good night on The Box Score.
You've been listening to The Box Score. Join us weekly each Thursday for a new podcast episode, and make sure to subscribe and share so all get notified when new episodes arrive. On behalf of the crew at DTC Sports, Terry Collins and the guru, Murphy Fair, thanks for joining us.